Thomas Rios of Sports on Earth, contributing editor at Sports on Earth, he had a great take on it. As I said, I think the best take that I've read on it. I'm going to read the paragraph to you that really caught my attention. Rios's contention is that the terms of both suspensions make perfect sense because the NFL is a microcosm of the society that allows it to exist. And this is the paragraph that, to me, explains everything. The NFL suspending Blackmon indefinitely is the result of the league's strict drug policy, which mirrors the strict drug policies that have resulted in black people making up 59% of drug offenders in state prison, despite accounting for just 12% of drug users. The leniency of Rice's suspension, two games less than Blackmon's first drug policy suspension, is magnified by the fact that the number one killer of black women ages 15 to 34 is violence by a former or current intimate partner. The numbers say black drug users are subject to disproportionate incarceration, while endemic violent crime against black women goes on without intervention. The injustice is only magnified by the scope of the American prison state, home to both the world's highest incarceration rate and prison population. Somehow the most aggressive criminal justice system there is manages to simultaneously target and ignore black people. For all the righteous anger rightly aimed at the NFL, their decision-making in matters of justice is identical to what already constitutes justice in this country. That, I think, is one of the reasons that a lot of people find the Ray Rice case so absolutely frustrating to talk about. And Thomas Rios, a contributing editor of Sports on Earth, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Thomas, thanks so much for hanging on the line while I read the paragraph. It's a terrific piece, and as I said, it puts a societal focus on this issue, and I think it just reinforces just how frustrating this is for a lot of people, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's a tremendously frustrating issue, and like I said in the piece, I understand why people are mad at the NFL in this matter. I'm furious at the NFL over their handling of these cases, but at the same time, they're only mirroring what the broader society has already accepted as being how we dole out justice in this country. So the issue is the NFL, but the issue is also, more broadly speaking, how we deal with these sorts of crimes in our country and the sorts of crimes that we choose to punish and those we choose to overlook.
The final paragraph in the column, perhaps next time, and there will be a next time, the NFL will offer something that can pass as just, but that's only meeting the standard of a society that defines justice based on gender and skin color. There is no excusing the NFL in any of this, but there's no excusing the society that makes the NFL possible. And again, that my first reaction is to kind of rail against the NFL and as someone who doesn't think that, you know, smoking a joint should result in you being incarcerated. My first reaction was just how stupid this is and how over the top one suspension was and how just totally inadequate the other is. But again, getting back to this, it's a reflection of some of the deeper societal issues. And I'm going to ask you, should we hold the NFL or any league for that matter to a higher standard?
I mean, I think that this raises an interesting issue in that I feel like a lot of the anger at the NFL over this is probably somewhat rooted in the fact that the criminal justice system already failed so thoroughly in that Ray Rice violently assaulted his now wife and the criminal justice system failed. I mean, Ray Rice is on track to have his record expunged as long as he completes this pretrial diversionary program that he's on. I mean, that's somewhat striking that someone can get away with such a terrible act of violence against someone and just walk away scot-free. I'm not in favor of a necessarily punishment-based criminal justice system, but it is the one that we have in place, and it's so striking to see its biases play out on such a large scale.
Thomas Rios is a contributing editor to Sports on Earth, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We talk about this a lot in this show, and a lot of people don't like it, but I have always been under I've always operated under the feeling or with the feeling that the NFL is held to a much lower standard in a lot of ways than other sports when it comes to discipline, certainly when it came to steroids. I mean, the NFL was lucky in that, Bud Selig looked so uncomfortable in front of Congress that basically baseball became the sport where the focus of performance-enhancing drugs really, really kind of settled in. I think football, especially the NFL, got largely a free pass in that. But what is it about the NFL? Is it just purely the economic might of the NFL that allows it, and in fact, a lot of its players, to get away with stuff that other leagues wouldn't and other athletes wouldn't be allowed to get away with? Or certainly other athletes would carry more of a stain throughout their career as a result of it?
Well, I mean, you know, the NFL is a enormous financial entity that's only getting bigger. I mean, their own stated goal is to triple their operating revenue by 2025. And their current operating revenue stands on something of the order of $9 to $10 billion. So They are purely focused on the financial side of this. And when that happens, for any sort of financial organization that's going to be sufficiently large, they are going to naturally reflect the biases of the society in which they exist, because those are the ones that are universally accepted and those are the ones they can get away with. The NFL is not dumb. This may seem like poor decision-making to some people, but to a fair number of people, it's going to make a decent amount of sense because there have already been plenty of people in the media who've equivocated on this. You've already seen ESPN. I feel like a major problem in this is the way that the media chooses to handle these stories. You saw ESPN broke the news on air about Ray Rice's suspension, and they chose to use a lot of weasel words and misleading language to characterize the incident. They referred to it as an altercation and an incident and all these things. And then right after that, you had Adam Schefter go on air and openly posit the question of whether or not Goodell was sufficiently lenient, not sufficiently hard, but sufficiently lenient in this matter. So now you already have media members out there normalizing the idea that, oh, this suspension may have in fact been too strong. And then you naturally had, you know, the First Take squad, Stephen A. Smith in particular, go out and, you know, publicly make all sorts of atrocious comments about how women have a responsibility to prevent domestic violence committed against them. And so it all just builds up and creates this sort of narrative that makes it almost impossible to criticize anything, because any opinion is considered valid within this, you know, broader media landscape that just has chosen to embrace debate as opposed to, say, embracing reasonable thought. There's no opinion that's too bad to be publicly aired, because once that becomes the norm, then how in the world can you even criticize anything? If your guiding ethic is to embrace debate, that means that you are embracing literally any opinion. Any opinion can be put on the table, and it's worth debating as opposed to merely dismissing. So the media plays its role in this because, let's face it, a huge section, no one is bigger than ESPN. ESPN is the defining sports media force in the game, like it or not. And if they're the ones out there putting out a narrative that, you know, doesn't get to the core of the issue and kind of chooses to dance around it and paints it as, well, you know, there are different opinions on this and all the opinions are valid, then guess what happens? People start thinking the same thing because ESPN is so huge.
A terrifically thought-provoking piece. Thomas, I'm glad you joined us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.